Matthew chapter 5, we consider another one of the Beatitudes. The one we will consider tonight is there in verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. There can be no doubt that God's people are a blessed people. Blessing came with our acceptance of Christ as Savior and Lord. The psalmist put it this way: blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. And from that point on, from that moment on, when we receive Christ into our hearts, the Lord has just kept on showering us with blessing. For he said in Haggai 2, verse 19, from this day will I bless you. Those words certainly could apply to us. From that day that we accepted Christ and the Lord and grace saved us, the Lord will not forget to bless his people, for it is written, the Lord hath been mindful of us, he will bless us. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. So there's blessing for the greatest of saints. There's blessing for those who consider themselves small. But there is blessing for the great and the small. Psalm 115, verses 12 and 13. As his people, we can go forth to do his will, to serve him, and there is blessing there also. Deuteronomy 15, verse 18. The Lord thy God shall bless thee in all that thou doest. And when we go to the place of prayer, blessing awaits us there also. For it is written in Isaiah 30, verse 18, blessed are all they that wait for him. And as we pointed out in the past, the Lord will bless his people in those trying and difficult of circumstances. As we see here from the Beatitudes, some may wonder how there can be blessing for the one who is poor in spirit, and yet the Lord informs us there is blessing there. How can we find blessing in times of mourning? Yet the Lord has told us, blessed are they that mourn. How can there be blessing in this cruel, hostile world for those who are meek? Yet the Lord says, blessed are the meek. And now we find there is blessing for they which do hunger and thirst. To the natural man, there's not much blessing to be found in hungering and thirsting. And yet for the Christian who hungers and thirsts after righteousness, the Lord says, blessed are they. Do we have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness? If not, we're missing out with the Lord. We're missing God's blessing. I trust if there is not that hunger and thirst, as described by the Lord Jesus, after righteousness, that we will pray to that end, Lord, increase my hunger, increase my thirst after righteousness. What we see here, first of all, in the words of the Savior, is the searching saint. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst, intimates that the child of God is searching for that which satisfies the soul. Here the Lord describes this search as hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And he also said, blessed are they. Blessing of God, the blessing of the triune God is pronounced upon those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. The Lord then is indicating that not all of his saints hunger and thirst after righteousness, because he says, blessed are they. Blessed are they. Not all have this hunger. Not all have this thirst. Oh, may we be included in this group. May we be numbered with those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. So who was the Lord speaking about? I believe he was speaking, first of all, and addressing the humble saint. Looking at these words, we see just how humble this desire is. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. This in contrast to those who hunger and thirst after fame and fortune. Absalom hungered after power and position. For he wanted to be ruler in Israel. We see this in 2 Samuel 15. This was the hunger and thirst that was in the heart and mind of Absalom. There in 2 Samuel 15, we read in verse 4, Absalom said, moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land. That's what he was hungering after. That every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. He hungered after power. He hungered after position. He wanted that place of prominence in the land. Oh, that I were made judge in the land. He wanted to be ruler of Israel, and he was prepared. Such was his hunger. Such was his thirst for power and position, that he was willing, he was prepared to see his own father David put to death, that he might take his place on the throne. 2 Samuel 17, verse 1. Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night. And I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid, and all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only. And I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is as if all returned. So all the people shall be in peace. And the saying pleased Absalom well. I will smite the king only. And the saying pleased Absalom well. Hunger and thirst are powerful forces. And people will do anything to satisfy their craving. Such was the power of Absalom's hunger for power and thirst for possession. He was willing to shed the blood of his own father. The saying pleased Absalom well. But the true saint of God is not searching for worldly acclaim, but humbly searching for that which will benefit his or her soul. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Proverbs 16, verse 19. It is pride that drives men of the world on to claim the spoils of whatever the world has to offer. But the humble saint doesn't have a hunger or a thirst for such things. The Lord in grace may place that believer in a position of authority. But the humble saint is the one who hungers and thirsts after righteousness. They will want to live righteously if the Lord is pleased to give them a position. That's what they will hunger after. So when the Lord said, "Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness," he was addressing the humble saint. He was also evidently addressing the hungry saint. The dear Savior himself knew what it was to be hungry. He experienced hunger and thirst. We read in Matthew 21, verse 17, "Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered." It's the same word, hungered, which the Savior used here in verse 6 of Matthew 5. And so is the Lord Jesus hungered after food. That's how we are to hunger after righteousness. And he knew what it was to thirst. Because while he hung there on the cross, it is recorded in John 19, verse 28, that the Savior cried, "I thirst." Once again, it's the same word which the Savior uses in Matthew 5 and verse 6. And so when he said, "Blessed are they which do hunger," the Lord was speaking about how he hungered. When the Lord said, "Blessed are they which hunger and thirst," he was speaking about how he thirsted. Since we know something then of the Lord's hunger and the Lord's thirst, that's how you and I are to hunger and thirst after righteousness. That same driving force that is in man that drives him on to satisfy his hunger and to slack his thirst. We know what thirst is like. I think it's bad enough to be hungry. But I feel thirst is a worse affliction. Your body's just crying out for water. We have hungered and we have thirsted for our food, our daily bread. We have thirsted for water. But have we ever thirsted and hungered in this sense after righteousness? Have we ever had such a desire for righteousness as we have for our daily bread and a drink of water. You can see just how thirsty the Savior was. Turn to John 19. John 19. And there we read in verse 28. It shows us just how thirsty the Lord was in His suffering. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, said, it is finished. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Do we not see here just how thirsty the dear Savior was? He was willing to take bitter vinegar. Such was his thirst. The word of the Lord will sometimes speak to us in a way that rebukes us, in a way that chastises us, in a way that corrects us. And it may be bitter as vinegar for us to swallow. But if we have a thirst after righteousness, we will be prepared to take whatever the word of the Lord gives us, or the Lord gives us through His word. Such will be our hunger and our thirst after righteousness. Solomon said this, Proverbs 27, verse 7, the fool soul, F-U-L-L, the full soul loatheth an honeycomb. But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. That's true. So when the bitter cup of reproof or rebuke from God's word is put to our lips, like Christ, we ought to receive it as the Savior received the vinegar. And you know that a truly hungry man, if he hasn't had food for a number of days, he'll eat anything. Even as Solomon says, every bitter thing to him will be sweet. He'll not be pushing anything to the side of his plate and say, I don't like that. As some people do with God's word, they push it to the side and they say, I don't like that. But if we have if we're truly hungry and thirsting after righteousness, we will receive everything that the Lord gives us. In 1689, the Roman Catholic King James II of England and Ireland and the 8th of Scotland laid siege to the walled city of Londonderry. At the time, the city of Londonderry was a Protestant stronghold. King James had stretched a boom across the River Foyle, preventing food supply reaching the inhabitants of the city. The siege began when 13 apprentice boys shut the gates of the city against James's oncoming army. King James demanded that the people of the city surrender or die. That's where you get the battle cry in Ulster, no surrender. The 13 apprentice boys sent a message back to King James, no surrender. 4,000 people, half the population of the city, died of starvation. And during the siege, the people survived, those who did survive, survived by eating dogs, horses, and rats. Now you think of it. We who are well fed, you would say, how could anybody eat a dog or a horse or even vermin? But they were hungry. And they were prepared to eat anything. What did Solomon say again to the hungry soul? Every bitter thing is sweet. By the way, that boom was broken when the ship Mountjoy broke the boom. And the rest of the people survived because of 13 apprentice boys who said no surrender. But those who survived were prepared to eat dogs, horses, and rats. We have a parallel to that story in 2 Kings 6, where the city Samaria was under attack, was under siege. The people were starving. And we read in 2 Kings chapter 6 what the people were prepared to eat because they were so hungry. In 2 Kings in chapter 6, in verse 24. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. People were prepared to pay money for such things that under normal circumstances they wouldn't put near their lips. And you remember Esau. He came in from the fields hungry. And he sold his birthright for a bowl of pottage. Such was the power of his hunger. Such was his craving for food. And when you think of these examples, we must ask ourselves, have we got such a hunger and a thirst after righteousness? The Lord said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Not only do we have a humble saint and a hungry saint, we also have here a healthy saint. A sign that a person is in a healthy state is a good appetite. You know what it's like when you're sick. You can't even face the thought of food. Even the smell of food been cooked in the kitchen. You just cannot face it. Because you're sick. There's a spiritual sickness as well that affects our appetite for spiritual things. How did the Apostle Paul describe the believers, some of the believers at Corinth? He said, you're weak. There's some who are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. He wasn't talking about any kind of physical weakness or sickness. He was dealing with their spiritual condition. And because they were weak and sickly spiritually, they did not have an appetite for righteousness, for holy things. Because the Lord, or Paul, told them, at a time when he should have been giving them strong meat, they were still on the milk of the word. They hadn't developed any. They hadn't grown any. And this healthy appetite for spiritual things will exhibit itself in a number of ways. In Psalm 42, here you have the appetite of a spiritual saint. Psalm 42, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My soul thirsteth for God, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, hungering and thirsting after the Lord. Peter said in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babes in Christ, desire the sincere milk of the word. Now, if a child is born into this world and the child is not willing to take any food, is not willing to accept any milk, you would say there's something wrong. And off to the hospital to have the child examined to find out what's wrong. Why is this child refusing food? And if the professing Christian does not have a hunger for the things of God, there's something wrong. There's something that's just not right. The prophet said, thy words were found, and I did eat them. There's a hunger for the word. Jeremiah 15 and verse 16. The psalmist said, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Look at the words. Early will I seek. My soul thirsteth. My flesh longeth. There's a hunger. There's a thirsting after righteousness. These are the words of a man who had a healthy spiritual life. So in light of all this, how healthy is your soul? How healthy is your spiritual life? How much do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? So we have the searching or seeking saint. That leads us then naturally on to the spiritual saint. Sad to say, not all of God's children can be regarded as being spiritual. Paul discovered that when he ministered to the believers in the Corinthian church. He said, and I, brethren, he's talking to Christians, and thy brethren could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. I cannot address you as being spiritual believers, spiritual brethren, but I must regard you as being carnal, fleshly brethren, even as unto babes in Christ. See, they hadn't grown any. Again, addressing the Galatian believers, Paul said, Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. You see, in addressing the Galatian church, Paul knew that not every believer in that church could be looked upon as being spiritual, because he says, and ye that are spiritual. In other words, there were some in the church that were not spiritual. But those whom the Savior spoke about here must be spiritual, because they hunger and they thirst after righteousness. Those who cannot be considered very spiritual, well, they'll not be hungering and thirsting after righteousness. They'll not be hungering and thirsting after holy things. They don't have an appetite for spiritual matters. That stands to sense. What did the Savior mean then when he said, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness? Well, the Christian has been declared righteous, having been justified by faith. That is, the righteousness of Christ has been imputed to us, and we have received that by faith. By virtue of this righteousness, God looks upon us as if we have never sinned, because we're clothed in the beautiful robe of the righteousness of Christ. That is a perfect righteousness, as described by Paul. For Paul says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. Colossians 2, verses 9 and 10. So then, what did the Savior mean about hungering and thirsting after righteousness? He was speaking about such things, the graces of the Spirit, holiness of heart and life, hungering after that spiritual food that will make us stronger and wiser and bring us into a deeper knowledge of God and a deeper walk and closer walk with the Lord. Are we hungering and thirsting after that? Here the Lord speaks about something that's particular. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Savior is very particular about what the saint of God is to hunger and thirst after, namely righteousness. But what did the Savior actually mean? The answer is found in Jeremiah 23 and verse 6. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after Christ. Christ is our righteousness. We sang this morning, Jehovah said, can you? The Lord our righteousness. Jehovah our righteousness. And that's the sign of a healthy believer. That's the sign of a healthy Christian. He is a hunger after the Lord. He has a hunger and a thirst after Christ, our righteousness. John chapter 7. John 7 and verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Let him come unto me, our righteousness. You see, whatever the soul thirsts after, whatever the soul hungers after, it is found in Jesus Christ. Everything for our soul's salvation, we find it in Christ. Everything to satisfy the hunger and the thirst of our soul is found in Christ. Everything for the soul's sanctification, we find it in Christ. So that our hungering and our thirsting is always after the Lord, our righteousness. How much of a hunger do we have after the Lord? Isn't that the very message the Savior preached? That is recorded in John 6 that turned so many people away. For they found a hard saying, and many went back and walked no more with him. The thought of eating the Lord's flesh and drinking his blood, they found it to be repulsive. But then, not being very spiritual themselves, in fact they were backslidden, they went back and walked no more with him. They were offended by the offer of the spiritual food. The Lord offered them the spiritual food, namely his own flesh and his own blood. He's speaking spiritually, of course, but they had not reached that level. They didn't think upon the words of the Savior as being spiritual, because they weren't very spiritual themselves. And they had they had no desire to hunger and thirst after Christ, the Lord our righteousness. And so what did they do? They went back. There was no hunger, there was no thirst there. John chapter 6 and verse 51, the Lord said, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you." If you do not have a hunger and a thirst after me, there's no life in you. There's no spiritual life. They just didn't have an appetite for such spiritual things. Unfortunately, there are many like those disciples today, and they don't have an appetite for the strong meat of the Word. They don't have an appetite for Christ. That's the sad, sad thing. They don't have a thirsting after God. They don't say, and cannot say in their hearts, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for thee." have never in their Christian experience arrived at the place where they could say with David, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee." I desire. The word desire there means to have pleasure. In other words, the psalmist was saying, "I desire thee, I have great pleasure in thee." All the pleasures I have in this world I find in thee. See, when you hunger and thirst after righteousness or hunger and thirst after Christ, it's because you take pleasure in Christ. He is our pleasure. He is our joy. We hunger and thirst after Him. There's something wrong with the spiritual state of the believer who finds no pleasure, takes no pleasure from the person of Christ or the presence of Christ or the preaching of Christ. And yet He is the one whom the spiritual Christian will hunger after. What should our song then be? What should our prayer be? More about Jesus, let me learn. More of His holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher, be showing the things of Christ to me. And the prayer of the spiritual saint will always be, "More Christ. More Christ. Give me more Christ." As the psalmist said again, and we repeat the word, Psalm 42, verse 2, "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" My soul thirsteth. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. We notice also the priority for the saint. There's something particular for the saint. Namely, to hunger and thirst after righteousness. But then there's the priority. The Lord did not speak about hungering and thirsting after anything else but righteousness. And to the child of God, that ought to be a priority. If we don't have this hunger, if we don't have this thirsting, then we ought to ask the Lord to give us a hunger and give us a thirsting after righteousness, because the Lord Himself said later on in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 6, verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Seek ye first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so, believer, if that appetite for Christ and His righteousness is lacking in the soul, let us pray, "Lord, increase my hunger, increase my thirst." There's also here the proof of the saint. The one who will hunger and thirst after righteousness, well, as we have already noted, they must be alive. A dead man doesn't have any hunger. A dead man will not thirst after anything. A dead soul will not hunger and thirst after righteousness. A dead soul will not hunger and thirst after holy things, spiritual things. And so the soul that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, that's proof that there's spiritual life there. it is proof. As we've already quoted the words of Peter, as newborn babes desire, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. And so if there's not that hungering and thirsting after righteousness, then the question must be asked, has life actually begun in the soul? Have we received new life in Christ Jesus? Because spiritual hunger follows upon the new birth. John chapter 4, you recall how the Lord met that woman of Samaria at the pool, or rather at the well of Jacob. And then she went into the city and told the people, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And we read in John 4, verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. Many believed. Many of the Samaritans believed. Now read on. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. Verse 39, you read about them believing. New life has begun in their souls. In verse 40, what was the natural follow-on from their believing in Christ? They wanted Christ to tarry with them. Christ, their righteousness. They wanted more of Christ. That's what they wanted. And the spiritual soul will want more of Jesus Christ. He will hunger and thirst after righteousness. Jehovah said, can you? The Lord our righteousness. Now in the last place, and quickly, we have the satisfied saint. There is hope for those saints that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for the Lord said, they shall be filled. There's the promise. Here is a promise which cannot be found in the world. For the worldling will only enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Mark the word again. Pleasures. Where does the Christian find his or her pleasure? In Jesus Christ. And sure, we abide in him. And we take pleasure in Christ every day. Not just for a season. The Lord has promised his people the eyes of all that wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. It's his promise. And since Christ is our meat and our drink, our righteousness, we are satisfied when our souls feast upon him. John 6, verse 35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. That is, will not hunger or thirst after anything else but Christ alone. Jehovah said, can you? Our righteousness. That's why we gladly sing, now none but Christ can satisfy. Another name for me, there's love and life and everlasting joy. Lord Jesus, found in thee. That's the promise. Then there's the practice. The Lord Jesus said, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. But that's a common practice of the Lord. Because the Lord fills our cup of joy. turn to John chapter 6 again. Of the feeding of the 5,000. And when the Lord challenged Philip how the multitude was going to be fed, Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Now think of 5,000 men besides women and children, they wouldn't get a crumb hardly to go home with. But then look at verse 12. The Lord, of course, took the loaves and the fishes, received them with thanks, divided them amongst the disciples, who then took them to the people. Verse 12, and they were filled. He said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the barley loaf, 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. See, that's the Lord's usual practice. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. He filled the hungry on that mountainside. He filled them. Just as he will fill us. Just as he will satisfy us. If we hunger and thirst after him. He fills our cup with joy. He fills our cup with blessing. He fills our heart with himself. He fills our soul with spiritual food. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. O loving and gracious Father, we bless thee for the word. This word of encouragement. Encouraging us to hunger and thirst after righteousness. It was a time when we hungered and thirsted after the world and the pleasures of the world. We tried the broken cisterns, but the waters failed, and even as we stooped to drink, they mocked us as we wheeled. Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me, there's love and life and everlasting joy. Lord Jesus, found in thee. O Lord, we rejoice in the Lord, Jehovah, said Kenya, the Lord our righteousness. Help us, Lord, to feast upon him throughout this week. And we know that we will be satisfied. Remember again those that are sick, those that suffer from their often infirmities. Bless them each one. Now, Lord, grant us all traveling mercy and take us to our homes in safety. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.